That's a good way to sum up summer.
Yes.
Adults and kids do stupid things and they get caught. We talked about this last summer, I think, that when the trappings of the school are kind of gone, especially maybe our older high school kids, they do some dumb things. And it's easy to laugh them off, right? Because a lot of them are things that we did probably and got caught for. But these days, you can't get away with a lot. And some of these things that happen with seniors in high school, if they're still 17 or maybe they've turned 18, these can have long-term implications, can't they?
Right, yes. So we can represent juvenile, or I guess seniors in high school that are 18, and you're still in high school, but then you get charged as an adult for a crime, for drug offenses or DUIs or possession of weapons, just different random things, or even stealing from a store. Whereas if you were on the other side being a juvenile, that's great, you're in juvenile court, but once you're 18, it doesn't matter that you're still in high school, you get charged as an adult.
And even juveniles, there's implications when they get back to school, right? So there's certain school policies they have, whether it's performing on sports teams or activities, that even if it happens over the summer, outside of school grounds, if the school finds out about it, there's ramifications too, right?
Right, absolutely. And that's even more difficult for those going into their junior and senior years of school, and they're looking for perhaps college scholarships. So even if a student doesn't do anything wrong on campus, right, it's a violation of their school code for getting caught with alcohol or just anything minor can get them kicked off the team or suspended for a bit.
Let's say you're a parent listening, or you're a grandparent, you know, of maybe your grandkid, niece, nephew, neighbor, the kid did something stupid, they got caught, and the parents, and I think they think, oh, well, you know, I'm glad they got caught. They should serve this punishment. There's no need for a lawyer. We'll just button this up with the police and the school. I think a lot of parents have that instinct to teach that lesson, and they think it's an important one. And they're not wrong, but having a lawyer doesn't mean that you're letting your kid go off scot-free, right?
Exactly. And a lot of parents just think, oh, what's the harm? If we take our child to go confess, it'll make it easier for them. I get that. I don't even know how many times just the past couple days. And so I'm trying to convince and try not to argue with these parents that that's the worst thing you can do. Police officers want the parent to think, oh, it's better off for your kid to come in and confess and cooperate. But it's the exact opposite of the effect. It really is more evidence against your child to get your child in trouble. So don't take your kid in to confess or cooperate with police.
Really?
Yes.
That's going to make people feel a little weird, but I get where you're coming from. There's ways to still make sure your kid knows they did something wrong, and they may end up facing consequences, but you don't want to have the scales tilted out of their favor when they're going to be dealing with something that may be more serious than they or the parents realize.
Right, because law enforcement will always minimize it. And so those parents just think, oh, if you go in and say you did it, then the officers would be like, oh, look how great you are because you ratted yourself out or you cooperated. We'll use that to help you. That's the exact opposite of what truly happens.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 630-877-5800 is where you can reach Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. You spent many years, just to reintroduce you to our listeners, if they're new to the show, in the DuPage County District Attorney's Office, right?
State's Attorney's Office in Illinois. It's called State's Attorney, yes.
And so you were like the prosecutor side, and then you shifted over the defense side. Why'd you make that change, Audrey?
Just for something different, to make a change with my schedule, but just family. But also, I saw the need that was on the other side of representing juveniles and adults, not only when they're charged with a crime, but through the DCFS process.
Right. By the way, 779 texted in, there's not going to be a punishment for any kids. Kim Fox will give them a hug and a lollipop. Say what you will. Okay, fine. That's an opinion a lot of people have. That's Cook County. There are different counties, and you are in DuPage County.
Correct.
And help people out in the surrounding counties. It ain't the same thing in DuPage, Will, in Lake County, and McHenry as it is in Cook County, is it?
Right. It's very different. Some of the western and other non-Cook County counties, if you even have any evidence whatsoever, so even if one kid just says that person did something to me, there's no corroboration, no other witnesses or evidence, a lot of the other surrounding counties, not Cook, will charge it just based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more of a reason not to take your child in to confess, because you think the police will show them leniency, because that's just more evidence against you that otherwise there wouldn't be.
So when people say, and I don't want to make this a whole Kim Fox debate, because we've had it on WGN so many times, I can't even count. Everyone makes valid points. It's an interesting different dichotomy here. But I just want to say and make sure we get a put a finer point on it. The suburbs ain't the city when it comes to that stuff, is it?
Very true. It is not.
And that goes for carjacking, smash and grabs, DUI, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So it doesn't matter where the kid lives. It's where the crime is committed. And it's even more aggravating if the kid comes, or even an adult, comes in from a different county from where they live to commit a crime. You live in Cook, you go to Collier counties to commit a crime. That's even looked more unfavorably by the prosecutors against you, and it's more aggravation for you to be charged with the crime.
Oh, wait, really? You can get a worse sentence or a worse charge because you went over a county line?
Not necessarily a worse charge, but it's more aggravation against you. It just shows premeditation, that this wasn't a spur of the moment. You went to some place other than your local area, hoping you wouldn't get caught or detected because you went to a different county to commit this. So it's just premeditation. It's just arguments the prosecutors use to seek a higher sentence or to have a person remain detained as opposed to getting out on bond or if a juvenile released on home detention.
Interesting. Yeah, because if you're driving from Chicago to Oak Brook to commit a crime, it takes a long time on the Eisenhower. That's a long time to think while you're sitting in that outbound traffic.
Right, exactly.
And so that this is about as premeditated as it gets. Okay, we've kind of actually started to talk about this difference between juveniles and adults, and that's really what I wanted to bring you here today. There's a law being proposed by the Tennessee legislature, and I know this is happening in other places where people are talking about it, starting to try and charge older teens as adults immediately. Before we get into that and how that works, can we just rewind a little bit and explain how the juvenile process works here in Illinois? As far as you know, I know there's a lot of mitigating circumstances, but generally speaking, what are the differences between being charged as an adult, as a juvenile, and where is that line?
Certainly. In Illinois now, the law is that if you're under 18, so if you're 17 and under, you are charged as a juvenile. So it doesn't matter if it's a day before your 18th birthday. If you're 17 and under, you can get charged as a juvenile.
No matter what?
No, there's discretionary and mandatory transfers. But that's where the line is between juvenile and adult court, is 17 and under or under 18.
Right. But there are certain crimes where they can charge you as an adult.
Correct. And in Illinois, you can be charged as an adult starting when you're 13 years of age, but that's not mandatory necessarily. But when you're 15 and older, then yes, you can be mandatorily charged as an adult.
Meaning that they have no choice. They have to charge you as an adult if what? If it's like murder? Or
correct. If it's first degree murder or certain offenses.
Okay. You have to be charged as an adult. But generally speaking, for most crimes, if you're 17 and 364 days, you're charged in juvenile. And when you're 18, you're charged in adult. What's the difference between the two processes?
Certainly. So with juveniles, you're either in custody or in detention at the youth home or out. There's no amount of bond. And then you can be placed on home detention or an anklet where you can't leave your home except for certain things. In adult court, as it stands now, until the Illinois Supreme Court rules, for adults, you're either in custody or you can get out by posting bond. I mean, you can be held on no bond for certain charges like murder, but for adults, you can post money to get out of jail.
So it's actually more restrictive for juveniles than it is for adults charged with crimes?
Correct. So juveniles are either in or out, or they can be at home on home detention.
But they're always under the eyes of the government.
Correct. Correct.
Whereas if you are put out on bond, there may be restrictions on you as an adult, but you could be free to go to work, free to live about your life.
Correct. Correct. Okay. And then the consequences also are if you're on the young side, the juvenile side of 18, or as opposed to 18 and older, depending on what your charge is, for adults 18 and older, it could be mandatory prison term. Like say you're charged with armed robbery or something like that, it's mandatory prison. And you can be going to prison for 21 years.
As a juvenile,
as an adult.
As an adult, okay.
But if you were 17 and under and charged with armed robbery, even though if you were charged as an adult, it's mandatory prison, in juvenile court, it's probation.
Okay.
I mean, you could go to juvenile prison, but it's not mandatory, so you can still get probation.
Wait, hold on. If I get charged with the crime as a juvenile and I'm given a sentence, what's not mandatory?
Prison for juveniles. It's not mandatory prison time. The presumption is that you're going to receive probation and you have to have special evaluations and these special hearings if you're sentenced to prison as a juvenile.
Okay, so if I'm a juvenile charged in a crime, is it before a judge and jury or is it a whole different process?
It's just a judge. Because juvenile cases in courtrooms are sealed and closed, you do not have the right and you're not permitted to have a jury trial. So it's just a bench trial, meaning the prosecutor brings in the police officers and witnesses, and the judge listens to the evidence, and he or she decides whether or not you're guilty or not guilty. But for adults, you can have the judge decide, or a jury, which is 6 or 12 regular people like you and me. They listen to the evidence, the witnesses testify, see videos and whatever, and go back to the jury deliberation room, and then they decide whether you're guilty or not.
Interesting. So juveniles always go before the bench.
Correct.
And if they're going to be sentenced to prison, there have to be hearings and other mitigating factors, and that judge would decide what the sentence is, which could be either probation, which is often the case, or if it's something severe and they want to throw them in jail, they have that ability to do so.
Correct.
Okay, I think that makes sense to me. If you have any questions, 312-981-7200. It's important to dive into this a little bit deeper. What are the crimes? I mean, I think murder, first-degree murder is like the one, obviously, you get charged as an adult, even if you're, 15, 16, or 17, right?
Correct.
Are there other ones, too, or is it, for the most part, anything less than murder, you're not going to be going to adult jail as a 15, 16, or 17-year-old.
Right. So ones that are now being charged as adults, it's not necessarily mandatory, but is the vehicular hijackings or aggravated vehicular hijackings or criminal sexual assault, sex cases like that. Those 15 or 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds are getting tried now as adults just because of the epidemic that there was a few years ago with the vehicular hijacking or carjackings.
Who makes that determination?
The prosecutors do.
Okay.
And then they have a hearing before a juvenile judge, and then the juvenile judge makes a decision as to whether or not to transfer that juvenile to adult court.
I want to make sure I understand. Murder means 15, 16, 17, you're automatically charged as an adult. Mandatory?
Correct.
Mandatory by the state legislatures have made these laws?
Correct.
Okay. And then underneath that age, like a vehicular homicide or vehicular theft, I don't know what you said.
Vehicular hijacking or carjacking.
Carjacking. Is up to the prosecutors. They can make that case to a judge.
Correct.
To charge as an adult. Okay, I'm starting to wrap my head around this. What does Tennessee want to do based on what you've understand from reading the articles?
They want to change the age of where juveniles are able to be tried as adults.
Mm-hmm. For a broad range of cases?
Correct, for a broad range of violent offenses. Illinois already has that ability, but apparently some states don't necessarily have that, or they don't have as low an age limit or a ceiling for a juvenile to be charged as an adult. So that's what they want to change.
So basically they want to line up two different kinds of cases or things you can be charged with. And for a lot of them, theft, minor things like that, it would still be that delineation between 18 and 17. But for a broader range of laws that are broken, they want that immediately. If you're charged at 17 and one day old, that immediately sends you to adult court.
Correct.
Okay. I want to talk about the consequences of that and kind of your take on how the juvenile court system works. We'll do that after we take a break, and we have the news here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. By the way, Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors, AndersonAA.com. Give her a call, 630-877-5800. More after this on WGN. Hey, everyone, it's John Hanson. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Oh, and if you ever miss part of a conversation that we have here on this show or any show, WGNradio.com is where you can go. We have archives of everything. Every interview we ever do is on the website, as well as other great stories. It's a wonderful resource, WGNradio.com. And our digital team has done so much to make it a positive experience. Of course, a lot of you listen there live, are listening there live right now, and we appreciate that. Just know if you ever miss the first half of a conversation, say with Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors, and we referenced something that we talked about, and you're like, oh, I missed it. I'll never hear it. Nope. WGNradio.com. You share those links, Audrey?
Yes, we definitely do.
And people listen.
They do actually listen. Thankfully, I have a practice manager. He takes care of all the logistical things. But, you know, he puts that on our website. And I know individuals have passed it around just as helpful information to people.
Right. Well, we're breaking down important stuff. You and I were talking during the news break, and we were spurned on by a text from the 708 who said, you mentioned pranks for seniors in high school. And I did a whole show, not a whole show, but like an hour when I was filling in for John Williams, I think, one day. And I was kind of acting as judge and jury about senior pranks, whether they were out of bounds or inbounds. And there's a lot of them that are silly and dumb, but there's a lot of them that aren't. And there's some that really blur the line of like, oh man, an animal got involved, right? That happens. Or, ooh, a kid really could have gotten hurt. And we started talking about, man, there's a lot of seniors in high school who are 18 and their friends are 17. And they grew up in an environment where they didn't have many interactions with the police or the judicial system. And they've been sheltered in that way. And when you're 18, it's not like maybe it should happen. Parents don't sit down their kids and say, not only are you 18, but here's all these new laws that you have to follow and really be careful of. I don't think that happens very much. Maybe it should. But you're hanging out with your 17-year-old friend. You don't think anything about it. And if you like that prank we saw, the prank in quotes, where they destroyed a classroom, I mean, you as an 18-year-old are going to be charged completely differently than your friend who's 17, right?
Absolutely. That's what parents and people don't realize. Everyone thinks that if you're in high school, you must just be charged as a juvenile. And that's not the case. I graduated high school. I was still 17. I didn't turn 18 until well into my first semester of college. And I hung out with 18, 19-year-olds who were seniors in high school. And
did you skip a grade, Audrey?
I started early.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. Overachiever. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, you started early too.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you were saying that you hung out with 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds the whole time?
Right, and there's completely different. So say there's something and it's a felony amount of damage to property. Well, as a juvenile, I can get what's called court supervision and in a year get it expunged from my record. Mm-hmm. For the 18-year-old friend in my senior class, they can get charged with a felony that may never be expunged or sealed, or they're on probation for 2 years and then they have to wait 3 years to get it sealed from their record.
So it doesn't mean they're being hauled off to prison. Most likely not if it's a prank that no one gets hurt in. But in terms of lasting on a record, it can be much harder to pry off.
Oh, absolutely. And then the long-term consequences could be significant because as a 17-year-old, you're adjudicated delinquent. So I may not lose a scholarship to a college or a job because of that. But if you're 18 and you're a convicted felon, yeah, you're going to lose possibly a scholarship or a grant or not get a certain job because you're a convicted felon.
Kind of like tease, like parents don't sit down kids when they turn 18. Should they?
They absolutely should. But the problem is, unless you do this for a living like me, where you know where the line is, most people don't know where the line is and don't know the law. So they don't sit down and talk about it. And it's not a class that you take in school that say, hey, once you're an adult at 18, here are all the consequences that could possibly happen to you.
You're not under the protected class of being a high school student.
Correct. Unfortunately not.
A lot of high school students are 18 nearly the entire year, their senior year, doing dumb stuff. Okay, well, then we have parents listening right now, parents of teenagers, grandparents, aunts, uncles. What should you say to an 18-year-old? We're not trying to scare kids or, excuse me, adults, but like, what should you tell them?
Right. I definitely think you have to tell them that now, unfortunately, once you turn 18, you're considered legally an adult. So if you do and commit a crime, you will be charged as an adult. If you have inappropriate contact with a freshman who is 13, 14, you're going to get charged as an adult, whereas your 17-year-old buddy could be charged as a juvenile. So those are long-term consequences, too, being a registered sex offender or felony conviction. So even though you're 18 and are an adult, you're still in high school. You're still young.
Yeah, and you brought up a whole other area I didn't really think about till now. I was thinking pranks, but you're right. How many seniors date sophomores? It's like such a regular thing.
Right, absolutely.
Well, if the parents of the sophomores all of a sudden don't like you or something happens, well, you could be in a world of trouble, couldn't you?
You could, absolutely. And if the sophomore says that the senior who's 18 did something against their will.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, you're definitely in a lot of trouble.
Well, and if you did, you should be in a lot of trouble
for
that.
Absolutely.
But even under like normal consenting situations, that could be troublesome, right?
Correct.
Or exchanging of text messages with certain messages attached.
Correct. Or photographs where the person's not completely clothed. That's an issue too. If you're an 18-year-old senior and you have a friend, a significant other that's a freshman or a sophomore in high school.
I liked when we grew up better.
It seems simpler.
Right. Not that those relationships were happening, but there wasn't the telephonic exchange of these things. And maybe to a certain extent, there was a little bit more leeway granted to young people under, maybe I'm wrong here. I guess what I'm asking you, Audrey, do you see them charging things that maybe they would not have charged 20 years ago?
Absolutely, I do. 100%. And I think it's just because juveniles in general seem to be committing more crimes or more serious crimes. So I think the public is outraged and they want, as a society, something to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So prosecutors, police are thinking, what can we do to stem the use of juveniles in committing crime, especially significant crime, and charging them with crimes or charging them as adults seems to be one of the ways people argue to try to stem violent crime or crime overall.
Right. And let's not even talk about, but it's important to note, we live in a world where, unfortunately, school incidents, shootings happen, right? And so, like, threats have to be taken way more seriously than they used to. And again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just the reality. It's a different world. So if you're a parent and you think it's going to happen the same way it happened even 15, 20 years ago, that's just not the case, is it, Audrey?
Correct. It's not the case. I think people also charge juveniles in juvenile court, not necessarily in adult court, because the law enforcement or prosecutor or someone sees that that juvenile or that juvenile's family needs help, perhaps, mm-hmm. with counseling, or there's issues going on within the family. So they think, oh, bring them into the juvenile court system, because especially in our area, there are so many services and programs available to families.
Oh, like almost like I'm doing you a favor.
Correct. Right. Exactly. In fact, there's this new case that came out that long ago that in counties in Illinois, you can even charge juveniles in Illinois for crimes that they committed in collar states, because we have so many more programs available for juveniles and their families for rehabilitation, for counseling, to assist them. So that's sort of the theory as well, to keep charging these juveniles to help them and their family, not just to protect society in general.
Wait, do you agree with that or disagree with that, or does it depend on the case?
It depends on the case, but I can see the pros and cons for both.
Yeah, but it just seems like a strange way to do it, to say, we can't offer you these, because these services can't be offered unless they've been charged as a juvenile?
Correct.
I wish we could just offer them the services instead and not have to necessarily go through the charges, unless they're obviously warranted and needed, like, and it's a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Okay, so the decision to be charged, whether as an adult or as a juvenile, unless it's one of these mandated cases, it happens before a judge. And I don't know of a better way to do it, because I would prefer that judges have some leeway in decision-making processes around that. But that really comes with, it just depends on who you're in front of, right?
Right. So the law has factors that each judge is to consider when they're doing what they call transfer hearings, transferring the juvenile's case to adult court. So there are all these factors, but it's very gray, and it could be subjected to the judge if they think the crime is serious enough, if the mitigating facts are significant enough to keep the juvenile in juvenile court. Correct. You can have two identical situations before two completely different judges and have completely different outcomes. And one, the judge says, no, they stay here in juvenile court because they need the assistance of juvenile court services, probation. And the other says, no, for the protection of society, this juvenile needs to be charged as an adult.
I think a lot of times charging juveniles as adults makes us all feel better, because it's like justice has come down. Right. And we're going to fix this problem from happening. It's not a wrong opinion to have. It's just can be more complicated than that, can it?
Right. It can. And there's just so many factors that people need to consider. I think what's a new trend in these last several years have been where adults have been using juveniles to commit crime or bringing juveniles along with them. And the adults are smart enough to get away and the juveniles get caught holding the bag or in the stolen car or with the stolen gun. And adults who are with them, co-defendants, just think, oh, they're juveniles, so they'll just get a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. So we'll make them steal the car, do this, break into this home, because they're just juveniles. Nothing will happen to them. So that's a trend, too. And so that's why a lot of prosecutors are trying to charge juveniles as an adult to send a message that that is not going to be acceptable.
Is that message get through?
I don't think so, because I think it's still happening. But I guess it could be happening more than what it currently is happening.
I guess also, how hard is it to get a message through to a 13 or a 14-year-old to see beyond the here and now, right? I mean, this is like what a huge problem. This is what gangs rely on.
Right.
The fact that the initiation and being part of a community is such a wanted thing for a 13 or 14-year-old. Just picture yourself in your schools. You wanted to belong where everyone else belonged. You didn't have the reasoning to think through that stuff. So I could see why some people would say charging juveniles as adults when they're 14 or 15 years old, it may feel great, but is it really doing what we think it does for society in the long term? I don't know.
Right. I don't know. It may protect the society now, but I don't know what happens when these 14-year-olds get out of prison in 20, 30, 45 years, how they're going to be integrated and how their upbringing is. But yes, as a 14, 15-year-old or 13 to be shown attention by an 18-year-old, that's significant that they care. But
yeah, I often leave our conversations, Audrey, shaking my head and wondering, we didn't solve it today.
I know, unfortunately.
Problem. These are complicated issues. And, everyone has the opinion and the right to it. And there are pros and cons on both these sides, right, about charging juveniles as adults. It's just interesting to see how that process works. Audrey, who should be reaching out to you?
Anyone that has any issues or think that law enforcement is reaching out to them, or if law enforcement or DCFS has already reached out to them, they need to call us. Or if it's their child or a significant other or a grandchild, you need to reach out to us.
The sooner the better?
Definitely the sooner the better.
Like if your son or daughter comes home and says, the police want to talk to me, call you before you allow that to happen.
Yes, definitely. Do not take your child to go talk to police without talking to an attorney first.
Right. And we're not saying police aren't doing important jobs and that they have every right to try and solve crimes, but you should at least have a lawyer there so that they know everything that they can or can't say or should or shouldn't say.
Absolutely. Obviously, police are very important and essential in our society, and they're all wonderful people. Mostly, I know many of them, and they're
right.
Fabulous. But yes, you still need to have someone to protect your rights and the rights of your family.
630-877-5800. I'll say the number one more time. Just enter Audrey Anderson, AA, into your phone. It'll be at the top of your contacts because it's right there alphabetically at the top. Probably one of the few AAs you might have in there. Audrey Anderson, 630-877-5800. You can go to AndersonAA.com. You know your stuff, Audrey, and we appreciate you sharing it with our listeners. Thank you.
Oh, thanks again for having me.